So tonight we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm just going to read two verses from Ephesians 1, which is verses 22 and 23. As I said, we're looking at the subject, around the subject of working for God, or national title of the series, the teaching is Discovering Your Place in the Body of Christ. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians in churches, you know, they acknowledge that God has got a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. And actually, this is what these verses here. So let's perhaps just read these verses first, and then Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it's the last two verses of Ephesians 1. It says, "And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now I said our title was Discovering Your Place in the Body of Christ. And Paul uses this analogy of the body when he's talking about the church. And he uses it quite a few times through the scriptures. And it gives us an understanding of how the church should function and how the church should operate. You know, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. And that means to be called out of something, or a gathering, or an assembly of people. You know, we know the scripture says that we've been called out of darkness. And we've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's Son. You know, we've been made an assembly of God's people. So we've been called out of darkness. The church are the called out ones. We're called out of the world. We're called out of the, and we become a gathering, or a group, or an assembly, which is known as the church, or as Paul puts it, the body of Christ. And that's the question we're going to address tonight in building up to finding out what our function is, what our purpose and our role. And we've all got different functions and different roles to play. You know, we're not all the same. We're unique. We've got our own gifts, our own talents. We've got our own things that we do. You know, we don't all do the same thing. And the purpose of these three sessions are going to be that we find out what God's purpose is for each and every one of us. Now, your purpose, your function, your role will be different to mine. Mine will be different to yours. And yours will be different to somebody else's. And everybody will have different. So if we went around, if we just went around the room here tonight, you know, we'd find that, I don't know, there are six of us in this room. We'd find there's six different things that God has put within us. We don't all like the same things. We don't all have the same talents. We don't all have the same giftings. You know, one's gifted here, one's gifted there. You know, we will have different things to do. Some might be great working with their brains and working out problems. Others are good with their hands. Some are, like Elvis, he's got a gifted for singing. You know, others might be gifted in other areas. But we're all different. And we've all got a purpose and a function to play. And when we all come together, it makes the church what it is. It makes the church perfect. Not perfect as in without any faults or any problems, but it sort of maturity. It brings a maturity to the church. So, when we're looking at what is the body of Christ, well, the body of Christ, first and foremost, is the church. It is this gathering of God's people. Then, as we go, we're going to turn to another scripture. We can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's just a couple of scriptures to turn up tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And here in this verse here, we read this. It says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" In other words, Paul's saying, he said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You know, when we are saved, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes into us. He comes, God lives in our heart by the Holy Spirit. You know, he comes into us and he makes our bodies his temple. The temple was the place where God dwelt. You know, we often think of it as a place where people came to worship, and that was right, that's what they did. But primarily, it was the place where God dwelt among men. And when the Holy Spirit comes into us, he makes our bodies his temple. That means our bodies are his dwelling place, where God himself lives. He lives within us. And there's an old hymn that we used to sing, and I think we sing it sometimes at the Chestnuts home on a Sunday afternoon. But one of the verses in the hymn says, "You ask me how I know he lives." And then obviously it says, "He lives within my heart." Now he lives within our hearts. Our hearts are his dwelling place. And that shows something. It goes about the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is the union that we have with Jesus, and obviously he has with us, and what we have with one another. You know, there's a union there. Yes, he comes in. Actually, if you went backpedaled a few verses in this chapter, you'll see that it's talking about those who are joined to the Lord or one spirit with him in verse 17. You know, being joined to the Lord and having one spirit with him. You know, God is right inside us. You know, we have that union with him. We're united with him. In actual fact, it goes on in chapter 12. Verse 13, it says, "For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit." See, the Spirit, when he comes into our hearts, he unites us, he joins us together. You know, by that same Spirit, the Bible there says that we are baptized or immersed into the body of Christ. Now, don't misunderstand when it says about being baptized into the body. It's not talking about water baptism, or it's not talking about the baptism of the Spirit. This is talking about being, the word baptized literally, yes, means to be plunged into. That's what happens when you get baptized in water. You're plunged into the water. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized, so you're plunged into the Holy Spirit. And they're talking about being baptized into the body. We're plunged, we're totally immersed in the body of Christ. We become part of God's, part of this body. There's a union there. Perhaps the best description is like the marriage, when people get married. You know, they become united, there's a union takes place, and they become one. The Bible teaches that you know, the man and the woman leave their parents, they join together, they become one flesh. There's a union there. And it's the same, we're united in Christ. Then thirdly, the church or the body of Christ is our commitment and our submission to God and to each other. You know, when we come together as the church, the Bible says we should prefer one another in love. That means we show love and respect. It's like a family. Yeah, we might not all agree. We might not all see eye to eye at times. And we might have disagreements. We might say, well, you get that in any family, because that's what the body of Christ is, a family. You know, but anybody from outside that tries to stir up problems in the family, I trust you do it, you probably do it with yours. You know, you might have an argument, or you might have a disagreement in the family, but anybody else tries to step in and put their sort of 10 penny worth in, you say, whoa, you don't have it. You don't have them speaking against your wife, your children. Do you step in and say, no, that's my family. And that's how we are, should be in the church. Yeah, we might have, we might know our faults and our disagreements, but anybody from outside starts attacking, we stand up and defend. You know, we submit to one another. And of course we submit to God as well. And it's through our commitment to God and to one another that God's purposes are fulfilled in the earth. Now let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to look at this chapter quite a few times over the next few weeks. Romans chapter 12. You know, in this chapter, Paul starts off and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the first thing Paul says is look, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is wholly acceptable to God. And he said, that's our reasonable service. That's the least we can do. That's the way I've always read that anyway, or understood it. The very least we can do is to present God our bodies. You know, our commitment to God, our submission to God, is we give him our bodies, we give him our lives, we give him our service. You know, and as God's people, we must take our rightful place in the body of Christ. You know, God has created each and every one of us unique. He's created us to serve him. He's created us with a purpose. And God has given us a specific purpose and a specific function within his body. What we should do as members of the body, as Christians, as God's people, is be willing to accept the unique position that God has given to each and every one of us. We will have differing talents, different gifts, our natural abilities will be different, but we're all necessary for the success of the body of Christ, or this, if we use the term church. So that the church will be, don't misunderstand when I say success, I'm not talking about necessarily having vast numbers or loads of money, how the world might measure success. But the church will be successful, it will function properly if we pull together and work as a team, work as a unit. Now God placed you, he's placed me, now he's placed us in this church. This is where we are now. As I said, it's a family. Now I'm going to say something here which might go against the grain. Because you might say, well, we choose to come to this church. But we don't choose our families. Maybe if we did choose our families, some of us would choose a different one. Because we know all the problems that we've got. But we don't choose our families. We might think we choose our husbands or our wives, but really God has put us together. Even before we were Christians, God drew working in our lives to bring us together. We've got to trust that God's doing what he does. So we don't choose our families, and really we don't choose the church we go to. We go where God places us, where God puts us. Now, that means that it doesn't matter whether the church, all the problems that the church has, or all the good points that the church has. You know, we should be where God places us, where God puts us. If you're born into a family, that's where you stay. And if you're born into a church, particularly if you become the, get saved in a church, you grow up in a church, that's the church that God has put you in. Now that means that you, we're not just talking about our church, I mean, whichever church you're in, obviously we are in this church, but that means each and every person in the church comes under the same authority, the pastoral authority. We all work under the same structure that the church has. We all carry the same church's vision or the program that the church runs. We all have worked with the same people that we've got, the same facilities that the church has. You know, we don't have anything different. You know, I don't have any different access to buildings that you have. You know, we come into this place. Now we can use different facilities that the centre offers, but we have to work within that framework. We have to work within the framework, the budget that the church has. And when you look at churches, you think, you know, this is true. You know it's going to be true, because you can look around and you can always find a better church. The church, you know, the grass will always be greener in somebody else's church, and you'll hear it. People will say, well, they don't do that at that church, or they don't do it at that church, but they do it differently in this place. And it's always going to be the case. You know, the grass will always be greener, things will always be done differently, but you fit in where God has placed you. I fit in where God has placed me. Now, we can't try and make our church like somebody else's, or we shouldn't try and make our church like somebody else's, because if we submit ourselves to God, which is, what's it? We submit to God, and we submit to, if we submit ourselves to God, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, this will be the church that God wants it to be. It doesn't have to be like the church down the road. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to sort of try and be identical to somewhere else. Yes, they might have more people, and we'd like to have more people. They might have a great program for social activities. Yeah, it might be nice, but we have to submit to God and do what we feel God is calling us to do. Because we don't answer to any other church, we answer to God. And we've got to appreciate that. You know, because you always have people come into churches, and you've probably seen it, and you know of people like this that are coming and say, well, you know, we ought to do this because somebody else is doing it. I've had it said to me, and we ought to run these... I don't know if you've heard of things like the Alpha courses, where they normally get together and you have normally non-Christians, so they get together, they have a meal, they talk about the Bible. And, yeah, that's great and that's fine, that works in some churches, but we've got to do what God wants us to do. If God wants us to go that way, then we'll start up a group like that. If God wants us to have all the nice frills and things that a lot of the other churches have, well, God will provide the means so we can have them. But we've got to know that this is our church. Well, now talking about our church here. This is our church. This is where we fit in, and we work within the framework of what we've got. We mustn't compete. We're not in competition with one another, because we're all in the same church, and God's building up this church. You know, we complement one another. But at the same time, we're not whole or complete without one another. So if one of us is missing, then we're not complete. And there's... I don't know who I was speaking to. I said to somebody the other day, it was the caretaker, Steve, on Sunday. I said, obviously, because we're quite small, especially, you know, like on Sunday, because on Sunday, obviously, you and us in the service, but And I said, it's different when you swore this, because I said, you get one family stop away, you notice it. I said, if you was 100, 200 or 300 stop, you wouldn't notice a family missing, probably. You know, because there'd be so many more people. But the smaller you are, the more noticeable it is when people are absent, and the more it hurts when people aren't there, and, you know, the more it affects the way things run. So without one another, we're not complete. And that just goes to, and that just highlights, especially smaller you are, just highlights how important it is that everybody plays their part in the church. We don't function properly as a body, you know, if we're not pulling together. If you just think of it as, because that's what Paul did, he's trying to show you how the church is like, he said it's like a body. You just think about it, if you've got a painful arm in your physical body, you don't say that, well, you might say my arm's not right, it's got a pain, I've got pain in my, well, actually, the whole body feels the pain. Your whole body is technically sick. If you've got a pain in your arm, if you've got a pain in your foot, or you've got something wrong with your foot, your body is sick. You don't just sort of say, well, I'm fine, but my foot's bad. Or if you've got a headache, you know, the whole body feels the problem. And that's how it is in the church. You know, if one person is not functioning properly, it makes the whole body sick. And the whole body feels it. The whole church feels it. You know, we cannot separate the parts of the body and say, well, we can do without them. Yeah, they might not be working, but so we'll do without them. You know, you don't do without any part of your body. If you've got the body part, you certainly miss it if it's not working properly. So if you've got your arm in a sling, because you've broken your arm and it's not working properly, you miss the use of the arm. You know, this chapter 12, I said we're going to come back to this time and again over the next few weeks. But in this chapter, now if you want to go around, we haven't got time to look at it tonight, but if you want to read through it or listen to it on a CD or read it when you get home, it shows you, as you go through this chapter, how we should function as the body of Christ. You know, verses 1 and 2 tell us that we should present ourselves to God, or we submit ourselves to God. Verses 3 to 8, it tells us about how we should treat other people in the body of Christ, our attitude towards them, our relationship with them, you know, how we should serve them. Then verses 9 to the end of the chapter, which is 21, that starts to show us how love is important in the church. You know, everything is done out of love. And I preached a series of studies a few years ago called Love is the Most Excellent Way, taken from 1 Corinthians 13. Love being the most excellent way. You know, it's important that we love, and this chapter actually gives us some practical examples of how we can express that love to one another. It tells us that how we should bless people and not persecute them. Those that come and persecute us, you know, it's rather than retaliate, we should show them love and bless them. And other things in the scriptures there, so go through it and you'll see some good examples there how we should express our love to one another. But what I'll do just to finish with tonight is just go through and ask the question, well, where do we fit in? What function do we have? Because next week we're going to start looking at some of the basic gifts that there are in the body of Christ. And every one of us will fit into one of those basic gifts. It doesn't matter whether we're young, old, whether we're male, female, we'll all fit into one of those basic gifts. Now, I'm not going to tell you what they are this week, but if you read through Romans 12, you'll pick them out, because they're all in Romans 12. There's, I think there's seven of them, seven basic gifts. But so where do we fit in? Before we actually identify what our gifting is, There's some important things we need to remember and need to take note of. One, we must submit ourselves to God's purpose for our life. That means we must be willing to accept whatever it is that God calls us to do. Every area of service, every area of ministry, every area of our function in the body of Christ is equally important. That means no one's better than anybody else. Just because I might have the title pastor in the church doesn't make me any more important than anybody else in the church. And I think, I trust you'll see within our framework, our church here, you know, we like to get the children involved. We get everybody in, we try and get everybody involved somehow, if obviously if they want to, or if they feel that's their calling. Maybe we don't go all the way, and maybe we've got a lot of improving to do. But and that's one of the purposes for this series of studies, so that we can identify where we all fit in and where we all take part. But everything, every area of service is equally important, and we must never look upon somebody as not important, or what they're doing is, you're just sweeping the floor, or you're just, hey, that's important. If that's what God has called them to do, that service is vital for the church. It's just, and this has often been said, and you know it's been said time and time again, actually it was my brother-in-law Robert used to say this quite frequently, he said, if your job is just sweeping up or polishing the chairs or making the tea, that's as important as the preaching of the Word of God. You know, so we should never compare ourselves to one another and say, well, we don't feel as useful as them, or we don't feel like we've got an important job. Because in God's sight, everything we do is important. So we submit ourselves to His purpose for our life. Secondly, and this is an important thing, we mustn't try and get ahead of God. A lot of people try and run ahead and, you know, try and outrun God and try to get so far in front. We must patiently give God time to reveal His plans for our lives. When we begin to walk with God, He'd rather us learn more about Him and His Word. And we do the things that the Bible tells us to do. Now, again, I did another series of studies about 15 years ago. I may bring it out again in some time. And it's sort of, how can I know God's will for my life, it was called. And there were certain things the Bible shows us we can do. If God hasn't revealed to us yet what He wants us to do, and there are people that don't, they really don't know what God's purpose is for them. If God hasn't revealed or shown you anything like that, there are certain things the Scripture says we should do. And we mustn't try and get ahead of God. But we do those things that the Bible tells us. That's service. That's working for Him. Third, and this is most important, we've got to make ourselves available to be used by God. What you'll find sometimes is that God doesn't always use the most talented person for a job. He doesn't use always the most skilled person. He uses the one who's most available. Now, the one who's most skilled may not be available to work for God. He may go, I don't want to do that for God. I don't want to work and do. But there might be somebody who's not as gifted in that area, but you're saying, God, just use me somewhere. You know, I want to serve you. I want to work for you. And God looks at our availability, not our ability. So we've got to make ourselves available to Him. That means we get involved in the very heart of the church. You know, the prayer, go to the meetings, the prayer meetings. You attend the church events. Any special outreach that we do, you find that people that are available make themselves, they gather. You know, we help out in any way we can. And it's from our availability God will show us what He wants us to do. Then fourth, we need to consider how God has I can use the word shaped us. We've been shaped and we with different talents, different gifts, different abilities. And it's no good us trying to do something that we're not naturally gifted for. Or if we're naturally gifted in one area, we don't try and put like a square peg in a round hole sort of thing. Now, if you can't sing, this is just an example. If you can't sing or you can't carry a tune, now, I know I'm not the perfect example of this, because I'm not a great singer, but maybe leading worship isn't the role that God's got for us. Maybe standing at the front and leading the choruses isn't going to be our perfect place if we can't sing, because we need to be able to lead the people. But then if we're gifted, I mean, like Elvis, if we're gifted in singing and things like that, and maybe things like making the tea may not be the perfect job for us, because maybe God's got something else that he would rather us do. So we've got to use our talents. We've got to consider how God's made us, what gifts he's given us, what talents we've got. And then we must be careful to explore different areas of interest and see what God's got in store for us. Then there's three more I just want us to finish with. One, we listen to what other people say. You know, sometimes the comments perhaps of people in leadership or our friends or opinions of people we look up to, they're valuable to us. You know, God will very often use other people to say, you know, you're good at that, or you've got a gift in that area or talent for this. It might be that we're thinking, well, I don't know what I can do for God. No, I know I can. I'm handy with my hands. I can do this. I can fix things, and I'm great on that. Say, well, that's not really a working for God. But other people might say, well, you know, you've got a real gift in there for that type of work. And then they say, well, you know, the windows need to be replaced, or you know, we need decorating done in the church. No, we haven't actually got that problem here because we've got the higher building. But if there was a hall that we had, like when we had the church in Gorfield, say, well, there's always work to be done around the building. If somebody's handy, then that might just be where they fit in. But we must listen to what other people tell us. And of course, we listen to what God says. You know, if God gives us a prophetic word or a word of wisdom, we mustn't rule that out. But those things will always confirm what we already know. Six, we need to equip ourselves. Once we discover what that function is, then we do everything to develop in that function. To seek out ways to train and to prepare and to serve God better. Everything we do for God must be done with excellence. Whether it's just cutting the grass, making the tea, whether it's preaching, whether it's singing. You know, there was a chaplain when we were in Mansfield. We had our own church there, but very often, because we only had one service there, we went to the Assembly of the God Church in Mansfield as well in the evenings. And there was a chap there in Mansfield. All he did was he just stood at the door and shook somebody's hand as they came in. He stood in the foyer of the church. He went through the main doors. This chap was always there. He shook your hand. He welcomed you to the service. He gave you a songbook. And opened the door for you to go into the main church hall. And that was his job. But he did it with excellence. He was always there. He was the first one in the church. He welcomed every person. Everybody got their hand shook. Everybody got given a book. He opened the door for everybody. I'm sure, I can't recall this, but I'm sure if it was tipping buckets down, he'd have an umbrella or something ready to give to somebody. You know, he did his job excellently, but he did it as unto God. Now that was as important as the preacher in the church, because he was he did his best to make sure he had a contact with the police, because there was a lot of trouble with the youngsters as well around that area. So we had a, he always had his mobile phone on him, so if trouble started, he'd be on to the local police. He equipped himself for the task, and he did it right. He made sure he had the, they gave out every week a piece of paper telling you with the notices on it for the week and what services were going on. He gave one of those, he made sure he had those ready to give to people. So he equipped himself, he prepared himself, and he served God excellently. Then finally, we must be willing to make the sacrifice. You know, every calling in God's kingdom comes with a price. Now, that's the hard one. It comes with a price. There's always a price to pay, not a financial price. But it means we might have to give up something that perhaps we're doing now. It might mean that we need to have an extra service a week or something like that. You know what I mean? So it might mean another night that we need to sacrifice. It might mean another missing a... We haven't mentioned Coronation Street since Robert's left, have we? But it might... Robert, my brother, always used to mention Coronation Street in every time he stood up. But it might mean that we have to put off Coronation Street or EastEnders one night to have another service. But the sacrifices that need to be made. When we do that, we've got to remember that many times God will bring us on. He will promote us. And before he promotes us, before he brings us up to the next level, you know, he will test us to see if we've got what it takes. You know, what's our commitment to him? You know, this testing only serves to strengthen our character, to strengthen our the level of the anointing that we operate in. So I'll just run through those seven things again. Just to say, one, we've got to submit ourselves to God's purpose. We mustn't try and get ahead of God. We make ourselves available. We consider the way God's shaped us, the talents he's given us. We listen out. We listen to other people. Particularly we listen to the Holy Spirit. We get equipped. I'll talk about equipment. It might be that we might need to go to do some training or something. And one of the things, as I said, you know, God's put on my heart about this Bible college. It's to equip and train people to serve God. You know, and we part of the courses that we're going to do is getting people ready to work for God and serve God. So it means teaching them how, teaching them things from the Word of God, teaching them practically as well. So it means going out on the streets with people and showing them how things need to be done. So that's the story back. So it might be that you need to go and find out something, you need to learn something, get equipped. It might be something you've never done before. And then finally, it's be willing to make the sacrifice. And as we wrap it up tonight, just remember two things. God will only use someone that he can trust. And if God can't trust us, he won't use us. And he won't promote us to another level until we become overqualified in the level we're at. In other words, if we want to move on, we've got to develop and grow in our gifting. You know, I never came up to this place of... when we were talking about it a few years ago, about perhaps me taking over the pastorate and letting Dad step down from that so we can focus on something fresh, and that was to travel. Now, he hasn't done a lot of it, but he's beginning now to go out a bit more, and he wants to go out and serve. But he couldn't do that while he was locked into a church every week. But now he can go and travel. But before I came to that point, I had to prove myself and qualify myself in the church, leading, speaking, ministering. And when God sees that, then he can bring you on. So you've got to be overqualified. Then God can move you to the next level. And when he moves you, he'll have somebody to bring into the place. And, you know, next week, we're going to look at the, just look at the basic gifts. There's 7 basic gifts that every one of us will fit into at least one of them. And they're not, as you'll find next week, you'll see next week, they're not spectacular gifts. And we're not talking about the pastor, evangelist, prophet, apostle, and teacher gifts yet. That's going to come the week after. These are 7 basic things that every single one of us will identify with one of them. And that's where, more than likely, we will fit into God's purpose and plan. So we'll leave that till next week. Amen.